When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Thursday night. Welcome in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Great to be with you. My name's Matt Pauly. Taking you through the 8 o'clock, till 8 o'clock, through the 7 o'clock hour, up until 8 o'clock tonight here on KMOX after the Cardinals lose today in 10 innings to the Cubs and lose 3 out of 4 and drop back below 500. If you want to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T. Pauley on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you can comment in the chat on any of those different social media platforms, and those come into our studio, and we'll take a look at some of those as we do go along. Here's the plan for the program tonight. Here in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to have our weekly conversation with our good friend Bernie Miklas, KMOX Sports contributor. You hear him all over the place. Also part of the team at STL Sports Central, where all of his written and video content lives. And then later on in the show at 7:05, we are going to talk with Jaleel Anibaba. He is an MLS analyst for Apple TV. We'll talk some City SC soccer with him. We are also going to be joined coming up later on in the program by Andrew Gavin. He is the athletics director over at SIUE, and we'll just talk college athletics with him. Good to be able to talk with somebody about the current state of college athletics. We also have our building community with Busey Bank Beyond the Game weekly interview tonight as well, around 7:30, 7:35. We're going to be joined by Jason Frazier, who is the president and CEO of Mind's Eye. One of the really cool things for me getting to do these building community interviews is I learn about all these amazing organizations and the things that they do, and they all have a sports tie-in somehow. So Mind's Eye, like the main thing that they do is they provide audio descriptions and audio services for people who are visually impaired. So if you want to read the newspaper, read a magazine or something like that, there is an audio component that goes along with it. But they do have a sports side of it with the adaptive athletics. They have Beep Baseball and some other sports, which is really cool. And they also have an audio description service for a handful of Cardinals games where you go to the game. And yeah, it's great to have the radio broadcast to be able to listen. I know a lot of people who are visually impaired really love being able to listen to sports on the radio. But what about fully getting the experience of a Cardinals game? Well, what they do at Mind's Eye is they'll come and they'll be audio describing everything that's going on. So if the wave is starting, they'll tell you where the wave is. If Fred Bird is doing something funny, they'll tell you what Fred Bird's doing. So it's a really cool organization. So we'll put a spotlight on that coming up later on in this show. Again, always enjoy being able to talk about that. And we appreciate Busey Bank for being able to help us do all those conversations on a weekly basis. So what do we make of the Cardinals right now? They're back below 500. They've got a bunch of teams in front of them in the wild card race, and they are days away from the trading deadline. And now the narratives that are starting to come out of the Cardinals clubhouse have started to shift towards almost this expectation of trades happening. We see Dustin May yesterday go out and throw five innings. He's lifted after five strong innings. Clearly, they don't want him to overexert himself or get hurt or anything like that. Go do your job and get out of there to preserve as much value as possible. And then he gets all kinds of hugs after he came out of the game yesterday. A lot of people thought he had been traded. He hadn't been. It was just a overwhelming feeling of, okay, that's it. That is it for Dustin May. That he's not going to appear again for the Cardinals. And there's great appreciation for what he has done in a short amount of time with this team. And that's where the reaction occurred. But Quinn Matthews has already been announced as the starter for Saturday. Once they trade Dustin May, they're able to bring Hunter Dobbins back. The rule about how long you have to stay down in the minor leagues, there's two exceptions to that. You can bring somebody back early due to injury, and you can also bring somebody back early if there's been a trade. So the moment they trade Dustin May, they're basically able to use that, I'll call it a roster exemption for lack of a better term. They'll be able to use that exemption to be able to bring Dobbins right back. And it would be my belief that within the next few days, we are going to see a starting rotation that does include both Quinn Matthews and Hunter Dobbins. Now they've got some other stuff that they would have to work through to make that happen. Matthew Liberatore scheduled to go on Saturday before the announcement today that Matthews was going to go on Saturday. We don't know the next domino to fall. They may not know the next domino to fall. If there is a scenario where Dustin May is the only starting pitcher that they trade, well, you might be in a spot then where Matthew Liberatore is headed to the bullpen for a little while, or maybe for the rest of the season. If there is a scenario where Dustin May is traded, but also an Andre Pallante ends up getting traded, which I don't think is overly likely to happen, but I also think it's not impossible. If you end up trading two starters, then you're in a spot where you're likely keeping Liberatore in the rotation. So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of pieces that you're looking at right now, and I don't think they completely know everything that's going to happen, and they won't know until they do get through the trade deadline. We're starting to see more and more rumors. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about with Bernie Miklas coming up in just a few minutes. He had a really good his most recent column over at STL Sports Central. He kind of makes fun of the industry at whole right now with all the rumors, but there are a lot of them, and some of them are true, some of them are not. True. You always have to look at where the source is. One of the problems in our aggregation era of media is that somebody will throw out an idea for a trade, and then that will get aggregated and it will turn into it's been reported that this is being considered. And that wasn't actually the case. It was just some type of analyst or some sort of insider throwing out an idea, and then somebody else will take that as being a report. And there's a lot of that out there. So part of being a sports fan this time of the year, being a baseball fan this time of the year, is navigating through all the muck that is the rumors on the type of trades that could be going down. Bernie Miklas, he is going to join us in just a moment, our weekly Sports Open Line conversation with him. That's after this. Don't go anywhere. You are locked in to a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Autotrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on Autotrader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
One of my favorite segments that we do each week here on the Graybar Sports Open Line is when we bring on our good friend Bernie Miklas. You hear him all over KMOX, Redbird Rush Hour, Gas House Gang, Dave Glover, Sports on a Sunday Morning. Of course, you can watch his daily videos at STL Sports Central. Also read his daily columns at STL Sports Central as well. But as mentioned, he's on Sports Open Line. He's ours right now. He's Bernie Miklas. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I'm glad to be with you as always, my friend. Everything's good. Cardinals aren't, but we are.
Yeah. I think that's true. But they may be getting better and maybe a little bit more interesting here over the next couple days. I always say, and I know you agree with this, listen to the words that are coming out of the mouth of individuals with the team. It was just a few days ago when you were doing Gas House Gang with Oliver Marmol, and I think it was you who asked about Quinn Matthews, and basically Ali said, just wait. He's going to be here. We want to see him too. Well, lo and behold, we waited. He's essentially here. It was announced he's going to start on Saturday, making his major league debut. So an exciting time for Cardinals fans who have been clamoring to see Quinn.
Yeah, Ali was basically, you know, making news because, yeah, he didn't absolutely say Matthews is coming up, but it was obvious that's what he meant. And he wanted to assure everyone. So I thought that was a cool moment on the show. And I really look forward to Quinn Matthews. I mean, I think he's, you know, he's been on that roller coaster. You know, he's a minor league pitcher of the year and legitimately so two years ago. And then 2025, you know, he's got the shoulder strain and it set him back. It kind of messed up his mechanics and he started walking everybody. You know, everybody knows the whole story. And it, digging out of that mess, you know, was, I think, a lot more difficult for him than perhaps he expected. But he got it done. He turned it around. He kind of fixed most of the issues, if not all of them. And I think actually it should benefit him because, you know, he was kind of riding high. Things were coming easy. And he, for the first time, you know, as a pitcher at any level, he really had to just sort of go, whoa, I've lost it. What do I do? And when you go through that kind of adversity, I think it does strengthen you as long as his talent's intact and his talent is intact. That said, I mean, I can't assume, you know, it'll be problem free, you know, although the Blue Jays, they're not going to have any real scouting report on him. So I look forward to it. This kind of thing is fun, especially the way this season has gone south in a hurry for the Cardinals.
He gets a lot of swing and miss on pitches that I feel like big league hitters are not going to swing and miss on. Maybe they will on Saturday because, like you said, teams aren't going to know that much about him. But as he settles into his big league career, I think that's the biggest question and the thing that I'm most interested in. What's it going to look like when he doesn't have these pitches that big leaguers are just going to flail at?
I think he's got more in his portfolio now. You know, I was looking at, there's a great site. It's a paid site. It's not a tremendous amount of money, but TJ Stats and Thomas Nitesco, I always mispronounce his name. He does a great job with putting together just pages on every player where you can just like look at the charts, and it's really helpful. And I was surprised, you know, looking at Matthews the last few weeks, just checking in on him every time he pitched. I was surprised to see so many different pitches. And I was surprised to see that so many of the pitches were really working well. And I think he's got more in his toolbox now. And his slider has been exceptional. And everybody knows he's got the good curveball. And the changeup has been a bit of a calling card too. So I think he's got enough pitches to keep them off balance. But, you know, part of it will have to be, you know, pitch selection and making sure they're mixing it up enough. I look forward to watching him because he is very talented. I actually think people are going to kind of underestimate him now because I'm not going to say he was a forgotten man. But once the hype train, you know, moved past him, there's a tendency, I think, mentally for people to kind of downgrade him. I think he's ready to, you know, show everyone or remind everyone what he's got.
His last 2 months at AAA are in June, he had a 2 ERA. And you think, well, okay, that can't last. You're right, it can't last. He cut it in half. He had a 1 ERA over his four starts in the month of July. The batting average against has been amazing. He's not giving up a lot of extra base hits. I mean, he comes in, Bernie, with a ton of AAA momentum.
Yeah, and, you know, he's getting a lot of soft contact. I mean, and that's because he's been doing the AAA hitters, you know, what I was just talking about. He just kept them off balance. They didn't know what was coming. He can change speed. He's a left-handed hitter, a left-handed pitcher, and he can kind of give them different looks. I mean, I think his angles give hitters trouble. So now, to graduate to the major leagues, you got to prove you can keep major league hitters off balance. But again, I think he's got enough to work with where a year ago at this time, or even in 2024, if you think about it, he wasn't ready because he didn't have enough of a variety of pitches that can stay ahead of the hitters to keep them guessing.
There have been a number of when you're going through a rebuild or whatever you want to call it, there's always like transitional moments on the path. And last year at the trade deadline, that was a transitional moment when they traded away some guys. This offseason, very much a transitional moment when they traded away Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras and Nolan Arenado and Brendan Donovan. It feels like another transitional moment is happening right now. You're going to see some guys moved at the deadline. You're going to see a rotation that likely includes both Quinn Matthews and Hunter Dobbins coming out of the break. I would suspect that Dobbins is going to be back in the rotation after some other things happen. It just feels like it's another moment here for this organization as they take that step towards getting where they eventually want to get to.
Yeah, and I think they had to do that. I think it's time to kind of infuse the rotation with some of the guys that they've been excited about. And you and I talked about this on the air a couple times, but I was doing this again today because I was catching up doing some homework. It really is astonishing to see all of the good young pitching they have in this system. And listen, people listening, I know what they're thinking. It's like, well, but how many of these guys will actually be what they think they are? They would, what, how many of these guys will actually be what the Cardinals think they are? And that's a good point. I mean, pitchers break down, they lose their confidence. They're not as good as we think. So yeah, there's a lot of attrition and I'm well aware of that. But as we've talked about, the difference here is that Chaim Bloom made sure not to just go out and get like three or four guys and he's happy and says, oh, great, great. You know, we got two or three rotation people. He's just getting as much pitching as he possibly can, because the more prospects you have, the more of them will reach the shore, so to speak, and instead of drowning, you know. And, you know, you increase your talent pool, that's you increase your odds that some of these guys will be exactly what you dream they will be, you know. So I'm excited about that. I really am.
We've gotten some questions on this, and Kevin and I threw it around a little bit during Red Bird Rush Hour, but I want to get your thought on it because I think it's actually a really, really good question. During Oliver Marmol's tenure as the Cardinals manager, it seems like unproven relievers have to prove themselves in low leverage spots. We saw that 2 years ago with Ryan Fernandez. We've seen that with George Soriano. We saw that last year with Riley O'Brien. We saw it last year with Matt Svaundsen as he moved into that role. Right now, Luis Gastelum showed up to the big leagues and was immediately handed a high leverage role. Why do you think Ali's kind of gone away from the path that he normally takes to handling Gastelum in this type of way?
Well, number one, I think that he was probably burned out, or what's the word? Unenthusiastic about some of the options that he had to keep going to him over and over and over again. And this provided an opening for the changeup man, you know, to just jump right in and kind of skip the preliminaries, the way Ali breaks in relievers that you alluded to. And I wonder, too, whether Chaim Bloom had something to do with it. And before everyone does the usual, you know, St. Louis thing, oh, he's a puppet. No. These two guys work closely together. They're a team is what they are. So they make a lot of decisions sitting down, face-to-face, conversations, constant dialogue. I would think that Chaim Bloom had some influence on that because, after all, the final decision does rest with Chaim Bloom about who to bring up.
Yeah, it's interesting, and he's a guy who's struggling right now because, Bernie, he has one major league pitch, and it's the changeup, and it's good, and it plays, but when that's all you have, hitters can sit on it.
Can I do a Matt Pauly here?
Yes.
I've wanted to do a Matt Pauly here.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm going to have to push back on that one. No. All kidding aside, I guess I am pushing back a little, only because I'm a little confused, and I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. Like today, I was looking at his Statcast page because I was curious, because I do hear he can't get hitters off his changeup because he doesn't have another pitch now. This doesn't prove any kind of point, but I looked at the page today and major league hitters were batting 111 against his four seam fastball. Yeah. So I don't know how to interpret that. I mean, if you just go by the raw results, I mean, I look at that and I'm like, well, what the heck is wrong with that pitch? But there's got to be more to it than that. So I'm kind of going to meet everybody halfway on the idea that he doesn't have another pitch. He might have another pitch. The numbers suggest that it could be there, and maybe it's the way they make decisions on when he should throw it. I don't know.
No,
you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, though.
No, you're right, and He has thrown it not quite as often as he's thrown the changeup. He throws the changeup about half the time, and then the four seamer is like 40% of the time. He'll throw a sweeper and a sinker every once in a while as well. But you're right, the numbers on the four seamer are really good, and a 111 batting average, expected batting average at 177. So not that much better. It's not being slugged. There's more slug against the changeup right now. So you know, we spend so much time talking about pitch mix and how you want to sequence things. Maybe that's part of figuring out Gastelum right now, that he could actually sequence things a little bit differently and maybe throw some more four seamers to set up the changeup to strike guys out.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's got to do. And the next thing I would look at is, to your point, to stretch it out a little bit, is like, okay, when is he using the four seam? What are the counts? You know, I haven't tracked it in real time. But I'm curious. I'm going to be curious to try to find that out a little bit. But can I tell you what I like about him pitching?
Yeah.
And listen, I know the results have been terrible, okay? But the Cardinals, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year. It's supposed to be a transition year where they really were going to give the opportunities to a lot of young players. I think because the team was better than everyone thought it would be, you know, it may have changed the paradigm a little bit, to where they were going to try to do both things. They were going to try to, you know, make sure young players got opportunities. But I think they also wanted to try to win, and maybe they made some compromises in that way. I know Cardinals fans, God bless them, they don't want to hear this, and I get it, man. I totally get it. But given the fact this team's going way south in a hurry, I mean, just terrible, really terrible, just about everything except starting pitching. And the record since July 5th, the record since June 17th, the offense just being incapable of scoring. Now they can act in the remaining weeks. They can conduct their business as if they are a true rebuilding team with no strings attached. And if they think that this kid will benefit even from getting beat up a little bit, the learning experience will pay off in the long run. And I see, I like what that represents, because part of breaking into the majors is you got to learn how to cope and how to adjust to failure when you've never had it before. Well, the fact that Ali's kind of throwing the kid right into the fire, I personally think that's a good thing, because they're not, you know, sitting there thinking, well, I don't know, because, hey, you know, we're blah, blah, blah. You know, we have a chance to get the 10 games over 500 or whatever, you know. See, that part of the season's gone.
Yeah.
So they need to do everything they can. That's why Jimmy Crooks ought to be catching more. That's another example. You know, the Cardinals are very strange with catching.
They are.
And I hope that changes. I really hope that changes, because it's bizarre. It really is. Jimmy Crooks should be playing a lot, because it's a team that where you don't have any hitters, really. I mean, Walker's cold. I'm glad that J.J. Weatherholt hit a bomb today. Burleson is, you know, a good hitter, but he hasn't hit for much power lately. And so you have Jimmy Crooks, and if anybody, I would tell everybody to go to FanGraphs and take a look at his July statistics. You would look at him and you would say, well, why is he in the dugout all the time? You know, and the pushback would be, well, you know, he's a left-handed batter, and you know, you don't want him facing left-handed pitchers. Well, why not? Like, what? How's he ever going to, you know, become solid against them, or respectable against them, or learn how to hit lefties if you never let him do it?
Yeah.
Again, it's a rebuilding year. This is exactly the setting where he should be getting starts against left-handed pitchers.
The other weird thing about this whole catching dynamic is people act like Jimmy Crooks is a shortstop playing catcher from a defensive standpoint. It's not. Yadier Molina, Mike Matheny, Tom Pagnozzi, they're not on this team. Like, as good of a thrower Pedro Páez is, he's not an especially good receiver. No. Yvonne Herrera, he's not an especially good receiver. He obviously doesn't throw that well either. The one thing I think Herrera has shown himself to be is he might be the best pitch selector, game caller of the three. It seems like pitchers get a little bit of a bounce when they work with him. And I give a lot of credit to Herrera for the work he did in the offseason. But people complain about Crooks' defense. It's not like the other two guys on the roster are about to go win a gold glove.
Well, that's exactly right. And listen, nobody complained about his defense in the minors. Independent evaluators praised his defense repeatedly. I think, you know, you come to the majors, maybe you feel a little uptight. Maybe it doesn't flow. Maybe you're a little nervous. Maybe, you know, a couple of times there was a pass ball, whatever, you lose a little confidence. But again, that's part of the growing process, you know, because I think Ali uses the term, or uses the shield of young players. Well, we got, you know, we're young. They're young. Young, 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 young. So listen, there are people on that team that aren't young. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're like finished products, but I think they're wearing that out a bit. And by wearing that out a bit, by putting guys who really aren't all that young or inexperienced into that bucket, then I don't know how to explain this, but you have a guy like Jimmy Crooks who really is young, who really is inexperienced in the big leagues. He needs to play, you know, but, you know, they make exceptions for guys that have been in the major leagues for a while and who by now should be doing certain things better. But I don't want to keep hearing they're young all the time.
No,
I'll go with the, like, I will give, I will cut.
Do we lose Bernie? We lost Bernie. Let's see if we can get Bernie back here in the next second or so. Bernie was, he was good. He was good right there. I wanted to let him, I wanted to let him finish for sure. Bernie, if you can hear me, we can't hear you. So we'll try to get you back here in just a moment. We were about to let you go. So if we don't get you back, we'll call it a moment. But to Bernie's point, did we have Bernie back?
You got me?
You were on such a roll. You knocked out your connection.
I don't even remember what I was saying at the end. No, it's like, I think they use the crutch of like, well, we're young. They're overdoing it because there are a few guys on that team who are really, really, really young. And this should be their time to play. But, and people shouldn't judge a Jimmy Crooks the way they would judge a veteran catcher. It's way too soon for that. It's not fair. And he's got to pick up his performance. There's no question about it.
We need to differentiate between like young and super inexperienced, because the following guys are relatively young, but they have a perfectly fine amount of experience. Walker, Burleson, Herrera, right. Nootbaar, mm-hmm. Wynn, that's your, what, 2 through 6 in the order today. The mm-hmm. only non-experienced guys in the lineup today are Weatherholt, Torres, Jordan, and Church. So all but 4 guys in the lineup, yeah, some of those guys are young, but it's not like they haven't gone through a major league season.
Well, that's right. And Blaise Jordan's another young one because I think he's got a lot of potential. There's a lot there, that he has yet to tap into. But again, he's just getting started, Lars Nootbaar today, there's no excuse for that. I mean, needless to say, and he's not young. I hear people, even in our profession, occasionally refer to him as young or whatever. He broke into the major leagues in 2021. Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be 29 soon. Okay. He's not young. And we in the media love to tout him as like, he's a great leader and those young players look up to him and he's in the clubhouse and they go to him and, he's teaching them and, he can talk to them when they make mistakes. He's a great leader. Be quiet. No, be quiet. A great leader doesn't fall asleep. When this team has been drowning, a great leader does not fall asleep in the outfield and lose track of how many outs there are. I'm sorry. That's the kind of stuff, frankly, Matt, that drives me nuts, where we overrate certain players and we assign virtues to them that simply aren't there, at least not to the extent that we make it out to be.
Yeah, Bernie, when I think about the leadership in the, because I'm in the clubhouse, I'm in there for 50 minutes. So like there's a lot of stuff that goes on there that I have absolutely no information on. But just in my very little amount of time that I'm in there, and I see the JJ Weatherholts of the world being the one who they're locked in, they're going about their work. I see the other day, it was on McGreevy's start day. And obviously that went terrible for him, but I was in the clubhouse and McGreevy walked across the clubhouse and sat in a chair next to Jimmy Crooks. And they just sat there and talked for about 10 minutes. I have no clue what they're talking about, but I thought that seemed meaningful to me in the moment. I think what I'm trying to get to here is one of the things that I've been most impressed by these, again, I'll use the word young, but some of the inexperienced type players, but this, the guys who are probably going to be the next core of this team, I really like the way they go about their work. So when people are asking, do they need some leader to jump up and start yelling in the clubhouse? Do they need to have a closed door meeting? I don't think they need all of that. I think they have the exact right personalities from the younger players on this team, that these guys know what it means to be pros and know what it means to go about and do their work.
I totally agree with you. And, this is one thing I think, gosh forbid, I guess I'll be arrested a half an hour from now because I'm going to say something nice about Ollie Marmon. You're not allowed to do that. This is the environment that he has fostered. And this is the culture that he has helped to cultivate. And those players, they conduct themselves in a way where Ali's imprint is on it. They learn from him. They know what he wants. They like the way he wants them to do the type of things you just talked about. And it's a healthy culture. And like he mentioned the other day on Gas House Gang, after that really brutal loss on Monday night, he was talking about how he was still in his office at 1:15 in the morning and there were players in there and they were talking baseball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's another indication of what's going on down there. And I get it. I get it. If a team goes in a slump and they're not playing well, it's like 100% it's a manager's fault. You know, I even see people on social media starting to go after Heim Bloom. I mean,
I have too.
My goodness. It's like, I mean, listen, nobody has to tell me what it was like around here because I was literally at every postseason game they played from 1996 through 2014. But we're judging a team that is rebuilding. We're judging them and measuring them against some of the greatest teams in the history of the franchise. You tell me how that's fair.
It's not. It's not. And we need to remember that this team was not built like to be a people are questioning Heim Bloom's ability to build a roster. This roster wasn't built. This roster is just there. And there's guys that are coming to it, but there is nothing built about this roster.
He inherited a roster and yeah, he's in the process of changing it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do people think this was like a 2.5 week project?
They shouldn't have. So
no, I mean, it's just silly. You know, when Tony La Russa took over, you know what they did right away? Bill DeWitt said, yeah, spend some money. You know, Tony La Russa told Walt Jocky, okay, I want this guy, that guy. They went out and bought a lot of players, and then they also went out and traded for players that had played for Tony in Oakland.
Yeah.
They didn't have to rebuild anything, even though the teams that preceded 96 were really terrible. But they didn't have to rebuild. Tony La Russa knew exactly who he wanted. And he had the freedom to basically say this, all right, do this. Let's do this. And they had some money to spend and they did it.
Bernie,
so what? Oh. Do we expect that type of thing to happen in this scenario? Really?
No.
I don't think we should.
Don't
I'm
think
sorry.
So. No, we're all good. I've gone long with you. Thank you so much for being so
right,
gracious
buddy.
With your time. And we'll
go. All right, buddy.
By the way, I'll tell you this now. No Redbird Rush Hour tomorrow because of the early game.
I got you.
All right.
Take care.
Talk
thank
to you soon,
you.
Bernie.
See
you, that's man. Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. It's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Kenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now, on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify.
RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
To the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Hour number two, we've got a lot coming up. We'll talk some City SC soccer. We're going to have one of the MLS Apple TV analysts on in Jaleel Anibaba. He's going to be joining us at about 7:05, just after the 7 o'clock news. Also, always love being able to catch up with the athletics director over at SIUE, Andrew Gavin, a guy who I've known for a really, really long time. Our paths have continued to cross during our respective careers, and he's a great person to be able to just talk college athletics and the state of college athletics with. So we're going to do that. Plus, SIUE had a pretty major announcement over the last couple days, so we'll tell you all about that coming up in just a few moments. A reminder for you, Cardinals Blue Jays tomorrow. They're in the Eastern time zone, so we're going to have coverage beginning at about 5 o'clock, a little bit after 5 o'clock tomorrow, so we will not have Sports Open Line or Redbird Rush Hour. We've got more Sports Open Line after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.